If you'd turn with me in your Bible to Matthew chapter 6, look what he says in verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. What's he talking about there? Then he says, verse 20, in contrast, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I'll read just a few more verses here. The Bible goes on and says that Jesus said, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, that is devoted, that is not distracted, locked in, focused. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, that is distracted, filled with all kinds of differences and distractions and all, if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. You understand mammon to be materialism. Cannot serve God, who is spirit, and mammon. What do you treasure? That's our text here. It's rather startling, don't you think, that the text, when you read verses 19 and 20 in our English version, it's virtually identical. Word by word by word by word by word, virtually identical, except it says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, and it says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. There's some truths that we can learn here that I trust to be a help to us as we consider particularly faith promise giving. Let's establish in our thinking as we begin that there is such a thing as false treasure. Think with me about that. There is that which is treasure in the sense that it is treasured, but it's false. It's not true. It's not real. It's not genuine. It's not absolute. It's fickle. It's whimsical. You can't depend upon it. It goes up, it goes down. You can get it, you can lose it, you can have it, you can lose it, you can forsake it. False treasure. There is that which can be treasured, but ultimately we understand we can't really count on it. That's what Jesus is talking about here when he says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. The treasures upon earth are those treasures which are false. They will all burn. They are only of any use to us at best as long as we breathe. Now, our breath, on the other hand, now that is a treasure. Yes. But that is God's gift. We can't earn it. We can't sustain it. We can't prolong it. We are completely and utterly and absolutely dependent upon God for every breath we take. That we should treasure. But all the rest of this life, this building, the chairs upon which we sit, the clothes we wear, we all understand. It all wears out. It just will not last. It is a false treasure. Shakespeare said, all that glitters is not gold, or something like that. I think he said glistens, but anyway, you get the point. All that glitters is not gold. But the fact is that we have a human nature that is endemic to us. It's who we are. That is attracted to that which is glittery. That which is attractive. attracts our attention. It draws us in. We understand this. You don't have to be saved or particularly articulate or intelligent to understand this. The world of advertising is completely based on this, right? You see the new car, or you see the new house, or you see the new whatever, and it's all designed to appeal to us, to be appealing, to be attractive, to get our attention so that we begin to think about that. The car that has the new little buzzer or whistle on it, you understand. I don't mean obviously a buzzer, but some little wrinkle on it. A different tone of color, a different metallic kind of paint. I don't know. I mean, separately heated seats, or I don't know. I mean, just on and on and on. Just tiny little wrinkles of things that people that want your money in their pocket will do whatever they can in order to appeal to us so that somehow they get into our hearts and into our minds to the point that we actually take our money and we give it to them. How very possible it is in our day to find that we have worked, we have labored, we have scrimped, we have saved, we have purchased, we have accumulated, and what we find ourselves is that we have laid up for ourselves treasures upon earth. You remember Jesus told the marvelous story about the man who was so wealthy, and he had great abundance, and his barns were filled, and he had a big problem. He said, "My barns are full and I have so much more. I don't know what to do with it." And Jesus told the story about how this man came to the decision, "I know what I'll do. I will build bigger barns." And thus he did. But Jesus said the story was interrupted when the man heard the voice of God, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then, whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?" We read a story like that, and I'll have to tell you that even in my lifetime of ministry, I have watched something happen in this society that is quite remarkable. Years ago, I could preach on that text and I could say, could you imagine somebody actually having more than they could use and deciding that even though all of their storage was filled and they had no room to store more stuff, could you imagine how silly it would be to actually build more storage just to store? And I used to be able to say that would be so silly. But in my lifetime, I've watched this culture get to the place where that is a very acceptable reality, where you can drive up and down Brook Road and you can find all kinds of places that are simply storage facilities. I don't mean this, maybe you own a storage facility, I don't know, but you rent it, but it seems to me to be rather remarkable that we would actually pay someone that we could rent their garage, their storage space, this area, so that we could take from our home and transport to that place and put stuff in storage and lock it and leave it there. To what end? Or our garages, our attics, our basements, or our closets. One of the great struggle that is so difficult whenever anyone moves is to just move all their stuff. Jen and I recently had a wonderful opportunity. Now, I'll just say, I'm not a clutter person. If you've been around here a long time, you can recognize, listen, if you keep clutter around and you find it missing, I threw it away. Okay, just so you know. So Fred likes that, I guess, you know, and Jackie maybe doesn't. I don't know. But anyway, my goal is not to throw things away. Although I enjoy doing that sometimes when it's just a mess. But anyway, we actually had an occasion where we were cleaning out one of the rooms upstairs in our house because we were never going to have the four children there. We wanted to make it comfortable. And so a few weeks ago we were going through this and we had one closet that had some boxes and different things. And so we decided to tackle that together. Now that doesn't always work. But my wife and I went through some of these things, and so we came across some greeting cards. How many of you keep greeting cards forever? Yeah, some of you do. Okay, yeah, great. For some reason, most of you were the younger ones that said, I don't know. But I don't know. But anyway, so we looked at some of these greeting cards. Now, the greeting cards are fine, but how long do you keep them? You know, I mean, come on, Christmas is going to come again. You know, I keep last year's till you get, I don't know, whatever, but come on, we're married 38 years. I mean, at some point, some of these can be donated to the trash bin or something, I don't know. But anyway, I was just talking with my wife, and I said, you know, honey, it seems to me that if we open a box and we see something that we haven't seen for 5 years, we haven't used for 5 years, we didn't even remember we had it, and we look at it and we like it, it seems like somewhere along the line we should say, this is it, the end, goodbye. Now, you may not agree with that. That's fine. But I'm just trying to illustrate that we live in a culture today. We have so much stuff. And Jesus warns us about false treasure. This idea of laying up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. You know, let's acknowledge that the Bible says that God giveth us richly all things to enjoy. I bring that up to establish the problem is not the things. The problem is when those things take control. The problem is when we begin to think that if we don't have those things, we don't have something that's of significant value. Let me illustrate. Sometimes, let's say in a marriage, a couple can so focus on accumulating something, a house, a car, whatever, and agree together that this is something that is desired. And work hard to get that. And scrimp and save to get that. And yet, even in the process of getting it, find that their relationship becomes stressed. And their communication becomes jaded or hindered. Listen, at some point there, we need to be able to stop and say, wait. Our relationship is more important than this house. Right? Because the house is a false treasure. If you and I believe that we will be happier in a house with 5 bedrooms than we would be with 2 bedrooms, we are mistaken. Happiness is not based on square footage. Now, if you have 10 children, right? We understand that. But if we're not careful, it has nothing to do with how many children. You know, you have a nice husband and wife and 2 or 3 or 4 children, and they have 18 bathrooms. Somewhere in there, something, it seems to me, might have gotten a little askew. What do you think? I don't know. False treasure. We can get this idea that if I just have that vehicle, if I just had that clothing, if I just had that You name it. Whatever money can buy. That would be, man, the coup d'etat. I mean, that would be the ultimate. If I could just get that, wouldn't that be a blessing? No, it wouldn't be a blessing. False treasure. Jesus warns us, don't lay up false treasure. Don't lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Don't stack and stack and stack and store and store and store and accumulate and accumulate and accumulate. Don't allow yourself to get to the point that you just think more is better. Because it's not true. False treasure. Wow. That looks like some treasure. That can do a lot, man. You can get a pretty nice house with that thing. Yeah, you can get a house with that, but you can't get a home. You could buy a person, but you can't buy their love. You can buy a car, but you can't. You can't buy the kind of relationship with someone that could sit in that car and fellowship and enjoy each other. I don't mean to embarrass John and Becky. They just had this marvelous trip. I tell you what, you can go to Italy but not have a good time with each other. Many of you posted, I saw different posts on Facebook over and over and over. People wrote to them when they posted stuff. They said, "You look so happy." That's the thing. You say, well, if I went to Italy, I'd be happy. No, you wouldn't. It's not the Italy. It's the relationship. We want to treasure what God treasures. We want to treasure what's most valuable. Say, God says, don't lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Now, there's a reason. We'll get to the reason in a few moments. But don't lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth. But it is treasure. And we can treasure this life. We can get to the point where we treasure now. Where right now is so important to me that I hold on to it with a death grip. It's a dream. It's a fantasy. It's not real. Well, it's the treasure's not real. Because it won't last. We can treasure this life. Here's how we do it. We can want too much. And we can spend too much. Here's the problem with wanting too much. We want. It's for me. You see, we cannot want to love someone else too much. We cannot want for Dan Canavan to see more people saved too much. We cannot want too much for the gospel to be given out in Hanover County by Hanover Baptist Church. Can't want that too much. We can't want forgiveness between our spouses, between us and our spouse too much. Can't want that too much. But we can want stuff too much. And we can spend too much. We can treasure this life. Not only that, there is true treasure. That's what we get in verse 20. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, but verse 20 says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. There are some treasures that God says are true because they're lasting, because they're eternal. A dad can come to the end of his life and look back and say, I provided for my children. I gave them fine opportunities. They lived in a wonderful home. I gave them the best medical attention. They never wanted for clothing. We always had abundant food. I helped them with all kinds of extracurricular activities. I paid for lessons. I paid for practices. We transported them. When it came time for college, we paid their way. We did everything that we possibly could. I worked myself to the bone to do that. I accomplished all of this. I gave my children all of this. It's false treasure. What our children need is us. What our children need is us. Solomon wrote in the book of Proverbs to his son, "My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways." He did not say, "My son, give me a birthday card," or other things like that. He did not say, "Son, now that you're old, give me a new house or car or vacation or anything else that money can buy." No, the wisest man in the world knew that what was most important was that he and his son, one on one, could be heart to heart. Give me your heart and watch me. Let your eyes observe my ways. Let us do life together. True treasure. This is what we need to work at. Instead of all of the other stuff that our world and American, you know, I mean, we live in a day today where it's sad, but sometimes I'm afraid even American Christians can get so caught up in the economy. We can vote our conscience, and our conscience is whoever I think will do better with the economy. Never should we vote like that, ever. We should always vote biblical convictions about morality. Why? Because the economy is false treasure. But morals are eternal. There's true treasure. There are treasures that you and I can lay up, can store, can stack up more and more and more and more. I want this relationship with my wife to grow and blossom and flourish and be better than ever. That should be our desire and our attitude. There is true treasure. There it is. We can treasure God. We can treasure God. Not just what God gives. Not just what God provides. Not just what God makes, we can treasure Him. That's true treasure. Him. We can treasure God. We can do that by giving to God. Giving to God. Giving to God's work. Giving to printing Bibles. Giving to sending missionaries. Giving to building church fellowship. Church buildings and, well, fellowship halls too, but buildings that are used for the glory of God. You know, this room right here, this building, do you know what's done here? Do you ever think about it? This building right here. We don't ever play bingo in here. There's nothing evil about bingo. I don't know. Maybe there is. But if there is, I don't know about it. To my knowledge, there's never been any alcohol in this building. To my knowledge, there's never been any smoking in this building. As my knowledge, there's never been an adultery committed in this building. Isn't that interesting? To my knowledge, there's never been any pornography in this building. To my knowledge, there's not. We don't do that here. This building is dedicated to the one true and living God as revealed in the Scriptures. That's pretty cool. This is your building. You gave money to make this building. This is giving to God, where we give, and we want to do this all over this planet for the glory of God. We can treasure God. We give to God. We also treasure God when we give to others. What a contrast this is We can give to God and others, or we can want too much and spend too much. You see the difference? False treasure is what we accumulate for ourselves. I get it for me. I get it for me and for mine. We gather it together. It's mine. Don't touch it. True treasure is when we're like God. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, right? Giving. That's true treasure. It's true when our Lord told us, it is more blessed to give than to receive. That's true. That's a true statement. More blessed to give than to receive. You can only learn that by experience. We can give to God. We can give to others. So I ask you the question. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where is your treasure? Or what do you treasure? And that verse in verse 21 is the reason why this is so important. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You see, it's not just what I treasure. The danger is, whatever I treasure, that's what captures my heart. Whatever I value, that's what captures my heart. You say, well, what's wrong with having a house? There's nothing wrong with having a house. But there's something horribly wrong with the house having me. How do you know when possessions have you? Lose them. Willingly. Give them away. Does it hurt? Or is it joy? That's why the Bible says that God loves a cheerful giver. Or literally, someone who gives. Someone has said, give until it hurts. Others said, give until it stops hurting. Others said, give until it stops hurting and it starts feeling good. It's kind of a silly way to state it, but it's quite true. When our giving hurts me, that shows me that I value what I'm losing more than I value what this person is gaining. I value having it more than I value you having it. You say, well, of course I value having it more than I value you having it. I love me. That's it. That's it. Do you see it? Do you get it today? Where's your heart? Whatever you treasure, that's what is going to capture your heart. Whatever we value, whatever we want, whatever we really affirm, that's what captures, captivates, dominates our hearts. This works both ways. Value the false treasure captures the heart. Value true treasure captures the heart. God made this a very powerful, undeniable, unbreakable reality for His glory to show us what we, by His grace, can be. The potential of humanity in the fear of God is awesome. The potential of humanity outside the fear of God is also awesome. One breaks, one builds, one destroys, one honors God. And so we're all in this struggle as we go through life, point by point, decision by decision. And let me just tell you, you know, this church has been marvelous and wonderful with faith promise giving and giving to missions, and that's been exciting. But you know what I've found? I've found in every season of life there are different challenges and different stresses and different difficulties. You might today be in a place where you find it's going to be really hard to make a promise. God's going to stretch your faith. Maybe you're in a place today where That's not something that's a stress to you at all right now, but there might be something else in your life that God's going to use to stress and challenge your faith. Whatever it is, you do God's will.